Morris fades away. Are you kidding me with that bucket from Braden Norris? Ice cold. Ice cold. Ice cold.
'90s callback.
Ice cold.
Well, welcome to the Two Ramblers podcast, where we're breaking down the Loyola University Chicago big win over the Indiana Sycamores. What else can we say about this game?
Ice cold.
I am your host, the host of the Two Ramblers podcast, Dauber, and we welcome in the analyst with the attention to details, Sammy D. What else can you say about that game? What else can you say about that game?
A great opening. Folks, Two Rambler podcast fans, you don't understand. Dauber is flexing the muscle. He flexed it on Twitter, and now he's flexing it on the soundboard.
I actually almost came to me in a dream last night. I go, you know, this Braden Norris, there's just something about him down the stretch. I mean, the guy is ice cold. And that's all I could think of. I thought of that song and I'm like, oh my gosh.
The other song that I had in my head was a Queen. I think it's Queen. Is it like Stone Cold Killer or something?
Something like that. So,
here's that much, much better. It fits with our kind of like hip hop, you know, feel.
Ice cold.
they actually used that phrase twice. I didn't have time to find the other mention of it, that he was ice cold. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool ending to that game, which how'd you think it started?
Sadly, as many of the Twitterverse has shown, just the consistency of three games in a row where they just started out really slow. Thankfully, they did not wait until the 7-minute mark in the second half to turn it on. I agree with Dauber. He put it on Twitter on Sunday. So on Friday, you're like, I'm getting too old for this, you know, late game heroics, and so I agree with you on that one. It's like let's see a game where we just kind of roll, but it was good to see them flex their defensive muscle in the first half, and then really kind of wear it out in the second half, and then prevail by a comfortable margin, I felt.
Yeah, I think I felt a lot more confident when they went on that run as you like to call it, the second half of the first half.
Right.
You know, we like to, here on the Two Ramblers podcast, we like to break up the game into four quarters, and basically that second 10 minutes, they really got better with the defense and started scoring. I really think Lucas stepped up in that period. I don't know if you have the numbers, but
yeah, I do. I mean, they were down 15 with 6 minutes left in the game, and they only ended the first half down by three. So that means they basically shaved 12 points off of the lead. That's my, you know,
wait, I'm losing this. They weren't down 16 in the second half.
I'm sorry, in the first half.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
At the 6-minute mark of left in the first half, they were down 15 points. And then whittled it down to just three. They actually almost tied it right near the end of the half. And then, they almost tied it, but then they ended up being down only three at the end of the half.
Yeah, the announcers mentioned they had a 14-2 run at some point in that section. Right. So that's the difference. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, no. So, I mean, that the way they closed the second half, I was a lot more confident in the second half, even when we got down again. I thought, well, I feel like we have the number here on these guys.
And coming into the game, the one thing I never really worried about any leads, because Indiana State's last game, they played seven guys. Right. They had only, you know, suited up nine. They only played seven. So it's like, I knew that if the game was close or even a lead that they had, I was like, second half, they're gonna fade. And sure enough, they showed that. In the second half, they just did not play effectively. And I think they may have had a one or two leads, but nothing more than 3 or 4 points. And it was just like, and then the Ramblers kind of, you know, by the point that they were up five, you're like, okay, this game's over, even if it gets close.
Well, it was great to see Cooper Meese flop again. I mean, lose. And, boy, I loved riding him live. And, again, he was annoying me in this game. The best was that Tate Hall flop, and then he misses the bucket, and the announcers, you know, the announcers were on point in this game. You know, they're like, hey, ball don't lie. And then the other guy goes, boy, I didn't pick you as a playground basketball player. And just as funny that they're back and forth, but he kept.
Yes.
So that was good to see Meese, as I like to call him.
Yes. That's definitely a good mistake on your part.
Yeah. And He did not show up well. I heard he actually had COVID and was not feeling well like this week. So
he did not play at that UNI game.
Yeah, so. It did not sound like an asymptomatic situation with him. It sounded like he actually had some sickness. And he went 2 for 9 total, and then 0 for 1 at the line.
Oops.
You know, they call that in my psychology class at Damon Hall, that we called that Schadenfreude, taking joy in someone else's misery. Shout out to the I'm trying to think of who my philosophy professor was. I can't remember.
I know I had 2 or 3 because I had to take 3 philosophy classes.
I took a philosophy of women class, actually, and it was all women philosophers that we studied. I want to say the teacher's name was Delinko. Is that possible? I don't know. Anyway, that that was a long time ago.
90s callback.
So. Hey, good story, bro.
All right. So let's get into some of the awards. Who would you vote for Hammer player of the game? Matt Hawes, Hammer player of the game for Hart. Hustle and hard work. Who did you see showing up?
I think the guy I saw in the first half that really kind of I think held the team together. It was Marquise. His game in the first half, I think, really like set the tone for the comeback. He had a couple. I know he had one really good steal.
Two steals that led to dunks.
Right. And I know, but the one I know was CBS Sports tweeted it out. And so that was a good one. And that was like when they were down 9. So it was like that 20. It was within that, you know, huge run. But just like overall, I felt like his game in that half really spoke volumes of the Hart and Hustle Award. And so that's why he's got my vote.
Yeah, no, I totally agreed. I wasn't sure where you're going to go with it. I totally thought there was some things that were keeping us in the game. I think Lucas's shooting actually in the first half, and then Marquise's defense. And you love to see Marquise climb the ladder. I was just wondering if he could just do a layup every once in a while, though. He doesn't.
Yeah, there were a couple times he went up, and I'm like, yikes.
The one when he landed on his back, I'm like, you know what? Just lay it off the glass if you don't got a good run up to it.
Well, you know, I was watching the replay of that over and over again.
Did he get touched? Did he get touched? The guy?
He didn't get well, not on the way up, but on the way down. Like, the guy kind of clipped his foot. Like the Indiana State guy. And I don't think it was, I think it was inadvertent, but it still was just like, you know.
Something must have happened because they exchanged some words, not bad words. It looked like the Indiana State guy was apologizing. Right. So there it must have been something awkward.
I think it's just the way they were coming together, and he happened to clip his foot, and that's why he ended up on his back.
Speaking of lip reading, did you see Norris get into it with Bledson? Norris was like, the CBS Sports guys, boy, they were calling a pretty good game. They were saying something like Bledsoe was turning in his screens, like I think he was moving his hips or something that was making it harder. And there was one point where Braden like ran into him, and then he got called for the foul, but he took issue with it, and they were jawing back and forth. But Norris is saying something to him, and I can't read lips. I couldn't figure out what he was saying, but it looked like they were really going back and forth with some words. I don't know what was going on there. So,
yeah, Bledsoe definitely posed a problem for the Ramblers for a time there, but it's like once they kind of solved it in that first half, then it was like you didn't hear much of him in the second half, even though he played quite significantly. But, yeah, it was just I think once they figured out the Sycamores in this game, and after that first 10-minute block, then it was like, okay, this is the game everyone expected. It just I think everybody was a little annoyed that it took them a good 15 minutes to really kind of clamp down, and which, you know, you change that first 15 minutes and this is a completely different game. But yes, this was again, this is a team, Indiana State, you know, moving forward. It's like, I'm not a big fan of them in the second or in the tournament or even moving ahead to next year. So, but we don't have to worry about that next year.
Well, I do think that we need to stop spotting these Missouri Valley teams 15 points. I mean, it kind of reminds me of when I used to hoop with you and give you 10 points to just make it fun for me. Like, Loyola doesn't need to do that. Loyola doesn't need to do that. I mean,
yes,
you know.
I agree.
You know, back in the day, I used to do that just to keep my head in the game, you know, just to, you know, because the competition was so mismatched.
I don't think Drew was like, all right, we're going to spot them 15 so we can make it interesting for us. Because otherwise...
Well, we're going to put ourselves in a hole, and then we'll try to run it around and pull out the magic. So yeah, well let's go to the JB's giant play of the game. I'm going to go ahead and take over this one.
Yes, today. I was going to defer to you.
Yeah,
I actually
believe it or not, I got to watch the game at a bar last night, which is such a privilege to be able to see a Loyola game on a TV set.
With volume or no volume?
No volume, because the NFL games were on.
Oh, right.
But
they had it
on a couple of screens, and me and our friend Brad were watching pretty closely. And I mean, I felt like I was following the game in the second half pretty closely. And I remember when Braden Norris gets the bucket that we played at the top of the show, where he gets down into the paint and kind of has a little fadeaway two-point jumper. It's just one of these shots that it's like, that's what we need at the end of the game. Like, we need some closing.
Just a dagger basket.
Well, it was just a great basket. It puts us up, I think, by two or three, maybe four at that point. And then we come back and he gets a three-pointer. And am I getting this?
Yep.
That's right. And then he gets fouled in the next one and puts in two more. That's what.
Yeah, at the 138 mark, he hits the three to put him up by, or hits the two-point, the one you're referring to, by three, and that's it. At that point, then he comes back down for the three, and yeah, and it's just crickets after that.
Right. So I mean, it's just that right there. That is what I want to see at the end of every game, and you know, I don't know. You know, Krutwig was mentioned in the first like 3 minutes of this game, so, but you know, I do feel like our team is looking for that closer, looking for kind of that guy that's going to sort of pull us together at the end. And I mean, I don't know if Braden's that guy for the whole season or if it's just this run, but it was great to see someone just sort of go to the next level right at the end of the game when Indiana State's legs are a little tired.
Right.
And then just put us into that comfortable lead. Because I do feel a 6-point lead with us under 2 minutes is pretty much a lock if we're not facing like a huge 3-point team.
Yeah, I mean, because they had closed that previous to Norris's jumper there to one and had an opportunity. We missed a three. They missed a three. And so it was like that, like it's, this could go either way. And then and in that play, the thing that you didn't mention, but he never let anybody else touch the ball. He brought it down. He moved everybody around. And then he backed his way in and then hit the fadeaway. And that's what was like, this is a stone cold killer kind of play. It was just like, oh my gosh, because he was like, no one's going to touch this because I'm going to score. And that's what it was like. Ice baby right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that mentality. Whereas, you know, we've seen, I mean, obviously our offense spreads the ball around. Everyone's unselfish. You love to see that team basketball. You know, it's some of these games, you just need someone to take control, to really just turn it up. I mean, you know, obviously I've been following the Bulls all season, and, you know, DeMar DeRozan is kind of that guy. I mean, we have great contributions from all these other guys, but wait, do I have a sound sample here? That was me. I had a DeMar DeRozan sample from a couple weeks ago, and I never got to play it, but anyway, I mean, and I'm not saying Braden's DeMar DeRozan, but I love that mentality. But, like a guy who in the last minute or two is just going to turn it up a notch
and say, I got this.
And you know, secure the win, basically. Bring home the bag, as the kids say.
Or in the Rambler world, we say, cue the crickets. Because on the road, it's like you want to hear, because like their fans were getting back into it, and he hits that shot, and all of a sudden you just crickets, because it was like a minute, it was like, and you could see even the Rambler bench, all the guys like Tom Welch and all them were like, you know, putting the finger to the mouth saying shh, crickets.
Yeah, I saw St. Thomas with the finger with the, you know, the what is it called, the shushing.
Shushy shush.
Yes. Well, great win. Super fun to really get back in that game and then really dominate in that last minute or two, the last couple minutes. I have been really happy. You know, a new thing they do at the games live, Sam, is they make a big deal about the last 4 minutes. Everyone puts the fours up and they make a big deal when it gets under 4 minutes. And I do feel like these last couple of games, you know, whatever, I'm not saying we're flipping a switch or something, but boy, when we get under 4 minutes, it feels like we're really, you know, it's like these other teams. These other teams, I think when we first start playing them, they're like, hey, this is Loyola. They're, you know, look at, they're not doing that great. Look how good we're doing. We're shooting threes. We're doing this.
Yeah, we're up by 15. Yeah, yeah.
And then in those last 4 minutes, they're like, oh, we're playing that Ramblers team. You know, the one we saw on TV last year when we were at home. You know, that's kind of like it. You almost see that kind of turn in that last 4 minutes.
Well, I've said this the last couple of years, but this is even more key this year, is they played 11 guys. 11 guys saw the floor. The St. Thomas had 3 minutes of action. So that means that the team is, and then Tom Welch had six, and everyone else had over 10 minutes of action. So that, you know, 9 guys played 10 minutes of basketball. So in that last 4 minutes, when you've been going hard at it, where they had 8 guys that played more, they had 8 guys played more than 25 minutes. So, or 7 guys played more than 25 minutes. That means by the end of the game, they're a little gassed. And so that last 4 minutes, you're going to see, you know, maybe a bad, you know, like at the Valpo game where you had 2 plays that were turnovers out of bounds. And so just like that, that's where those close games can turn in the balance because of the Ramblers depth. And I think that's really, yes, beginning, the starts are not good. We'll fix that. But like, it really speaks to the team's depth of quality players. They have just 5, 10, 11 guys that can play. And then it's just like, okay, that last 4 minutes, that's where it's going to show. And that's where it shows, especially the last 3 games in particular, where they just, no, you're not going to win, and don't even think about it.
All right. Well, it was nice to get a win without a text from Uncle Jeffy talking about the Sammy D quote unquote curse, which we still have not seen the curse. We've seen perhaps the Sammy D prophecy now that we have how many wins in conference now? Is it three? Four?
Four.
Four
and oh.
So we're looking ahead and we're not overlooking Evansville. No. Okay, we're looking ahead. We're not overlooking. So, Sam, what do you know about Evansville?
All I know is the last time, I feel like the last time the Ramblers went to Evansville, they lost by 30. Now, granted, that was 2 years ago, but still, it's like that's hanging in their head. There are guys on the team that, hey, we lost by 30 the last time we went to Evansville. And the last time Evansville came to Loyola, they put a scare into them. In that back-to-back series last year. So, granted, it's a team that is not very good. They're the number 10 team in the Valley, but the Valley is the Valley. So don't take them lightly, which I don't think they will. I think I'm hoping that they take this as an opportunity to – they'll come back home, rest up, and then head down there on Tuesday and get the W and then get ready for Missouri State.
Well, and it's like next week we really got some challenging things. We've got Missouri State, maybe Southern. Did they
play back to back Southern Tuesday, Thursday?
Yeah,
ooh, and then that's crazy town.
And then Drake. So it's like it's going to be a tough road.
They need to win the game against Evansville, and then they come home for Missouri State and Southern. Yeah, they play Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Wow, this is where the prophecy could have some trouble, but I think they can weather this storm.
Well, I mean, this is where the bench and you know all these other teams are playing a lot of games. So
yep, this is the beginning of the reschedules, and so this is where a lot of those teams are also playing these back to back games. So.
Well, it's going to be busy here on the Two Ramblers podcast. I don't think we're going to have to. I don't think we're going to be able to have the production effort that we had today. If we're doing four of these a week. I think we're going to pack it in. And Sammy, great to see you. Great win for the Ramblers. And yes. Let's do it again midweek after Evansville.
Let's do it, baby.
Go Ramblers!
Go Ramblers!
'90s callback.
Ice cold. Hold.